The gospel for this fifth Sunday in Lent comes from John chapter 12. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from God, our Creator, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The party was going great. The music was fun, conversations were flowing, and everyone there was dressed in something sparkly and shiny and glittery and fun. People greeted old friends from across the room, and everyone was smiling. It just couldn't have been better. It was really perfect, all things considered. In the center of everything was a beautiful girl with the brightest smile in the room. "This is the best day ever," she said to her friends as they moved in perfect rhythm to her favorite song. And then, as she twirled and smiled and sparkled at the center of it all, she said to everyone in the room and yet no one in particular, "Do you guys ever think about dying?" You may recognize this moment for what it is, a scene from the movie Barbie. It is Barbie who, while twirling and sparkling in the center of the room, and yet in the midst of yet another perfect day in her seemingly perfect life, brings everything to a complete halt with her shocking question. She says this, and the party quite literally stops. No one knows what to do. What is she talking about? Who says something like that when everything is going so well? Probably only a pastor would watch that scene from Barbie and think about Jesus, but go with me. There may be some connections here. Up until now in the gospel, Jesus has been kind of a twirly, sparkly kind of guy. That is, he's been in the midst of some very good, beautiful, wonderful things. The Jesus party has been really good so far. He's called disciples. He has confronted injustices. He has turned water into wine, proving that he too likes a good party. He's had long theological conversations with people who were not generally invited to do that sort of thing. He's walked on water. He's fed thousands with just a little bread and fish. And if all that wasn't enough, he has just raised his good friend Lazarus from the dead. The music is going. The party is hopping. Until the man in the center of it all suddenly says, "You guys ever think about dying?" I know that's not exactly what Jesus says, but it's not far off. Some newcomers have heard about the Jesus party, apparently, and they come and tell one of the disciples that they also wish to see Jesus. And so the disciples kind of go one through the other until they finally get to Jesus and tell him that people are looking for him. Where should they look? Jesus, in answering their question, points them not toward the party, not toward all the twirly, sparkly, shiny things, the healings and the miracles, or even the resurrection, which is pretty spectacular. When people want to know where to find Jesus, Jesus points them toward his death, toward the hardest, loneliest, most terrifying time of his life. The stuff nobody really wants to think about. You got to start there, he says. We're reading this story from the Gospel of John today, not by accident, but because we are coming very close to Holy Week, when we are going to tell the stories of how the original Jesus party came to a very painful and violent end. That's the sort of thing, the sort of scene we largely prefer to evade, turn away from, try to pretend isn't happening. But Jesus will not let us get away with any of our classic avoidance techniques. He is determined to point us squarely at the things that hurt the most. The questions that stop parties. The words that suck all the air out of the room. If you're looking for me, Jesus says, if you want to find me, that's where you start. This does not sound anything like good news. Until you find yourself in one of those painful, scary, silence-inducing places. Until maybe you are the person who stops the party because when you walk in, you can see everybody's expression shift to pity. Until you are sitting in the doctor's office hearing the diagnosis you never imagined. Or until you're sitting in the hospital room, the hospice room, the funeral director's office, the divorce lawyer's office, the crisis center, filling out paperwork for admittance to the detox clinic. In all those places and a thousand more, there's no avoiding the hard questions anymore. You're thinking about dying, whether you want to or not. And not just the final kind, maybe the death of a dream, a relationship, a job, an identity, a family, a future. You can't stop thinking all those hard things. And you realize that the only thing worse than being in the middle of that is being in it alone. As the movie goes, you discover that Barbie's awkward party question didn't actually come out of nowhere. It came from some deep down kind of brewing sense she's had and she's been carrying around that something about her life and her identity and her place in the world was not quite right anymore. Something has been unraveling for a while and she didn't know how to say it or even realize she needed to say it until the words came flying out of her mouth at the worst possible moment. She says, "Do you guys ever think about dying?" But she also means something like, "Is this all there is to my life?" Or, "Does anybody else ever wonder about stuff they are afraid to say out loud?" Or, in the words of the Oscar-winning song from the movie, "What was I made for?" Something about saying that very disruptive question out loud dislodges just about everything in Barbie's carefully ordered world to such an extent that she has to go on a quest, together with Ken, of course, to discover what's actually true. That is, what can stand in the face of the big questions? What lasts when the surface glitter wears off? What's left when the music stops and the party's over? What she says is, "Do you guys ever think about dying?" She also means, "Am I the only one who thinks something here might be terribly, terribly wrong?" You are not the only one who thinks something in this world might be terribly wrong. You only have to watch the news for like 15 minutes a week to hear enough that could make you worry for a year. And then each of us carry around plenty of our own stories of hurt and struggle and pain. If you are wanting to find Jesus in those tender, hurting places, most of the time, you don't have to go very far. And that might be a kernel, a seed of gospel and good news in the story. It's buried pretty far deep, but it may be growing toward the surface and bringing us life. To say to us, you don't have to hide from the hard questions. You don't have to hide your struggles from one another. Sharing our worries and our losses and our confusion is not a sign of weakness or failure. It's actually a path. It is a map to finding Jesus. So much of our time is spent trying to be brave and put on a happy face to look like what we think everybody else looks like. Everyone else looks so put together. Kind of the Christmas card phenomenon, when all these photos of happy families show up at your door and you think, boy, we never look like that. Except that what you don't see is the families that, before the photo was taken, argued at home about what they have to wear, got halfway to the photo session in the car before realizing no one ate any breakfast or let the dog out, separating the kids in the back seat so they will stop pinching each other, no pinching on Irish Day either, by the way, and then managing to get a smile on everyone's face in one of the 357 photos that would be good enough for the Christmas card. That's what's actually going on. Just nobody took photos of all the backstory. Scholars have long debated why Jesus spent so much time talking about his death across all four Gospels. He's warning his friends about it continuously. And we want to know why. Why does he spend so much time on this? It's kind of a downer. It makes the disciples nervous. And it actually scares off a lot of people from following Jesus. Crowds of people who were interested in him until he kept talking about death, and they left. As a leadership technique, this is a clear failure. But if what you're trying to do is make space in the world for people to tell the truth and face the truth together and recognize how we are all sharing fears and anxieties together, then saying the awkward, hard, painful thing right in the middle of the party is exactly what you want to do. It makes room for all the messy, difficult realities to come out of hiding and into the sunlight. It makes room to acknowledge that everyone at the party is actually holding their lives together with duct tape and staples and thinking that everyone else has it put together until the person at the center of it stops everything by saying out loud the most real thing of all. Do you guys ever think about dying? Because yes, not only do we think about it, we live with it all the time. Endings of all kinds. And the deep, sometimes terrifying worry that endings are all there is. There are 1,000 ideas out there, books, articles, whole classes taught about why Jesus died. But regardless of how we understand all of that, the simple fact that Jesus died means that no matter how hard things get for you, how messy life is, no matter how many failures you rack up and how many endings you live with and through, there is no place you can go or be or experience that God has not already been. You are never the only person for whom the party is not actually going all that well. And when your party is going pretty well, and you're wondering where to find Jesus, where to look for him, the best place to start is with the people in your life or in your neighborhood or in the world who are hurting the most, who are asking the most questions, who are living with the most doubts and fears, who are dying in all the ways. That's where Jesus goes every time. And that's where he takes us with him. Do we ever think about that? Yes, Barbie, absolutely, we do. And God thought about it too. Until one day, God decided to stop thinking and take on flesh and blood and brokenness and hurting. And finally, even the dying. So that someday, maybe even today, we would get to stand in the middle of the party and ask another question. Do you guys ever think about resurrection? Amen.